You are tuned to the dirt.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found.
That's affirmative. He has evidence proving Bigfoot.
The search for the flying saucer.
You're about to explore another world, another universe, with the likes of Ghost, Bigfoot, and UFOs.
I woke up in the middle of the night. I don't know what it was.
He is overshadowed by the energy from the world teacher, and the world teacher uses him and gives a blessing.
And all of a sudden, I realized that the banging is coming from my kitchen. Instantly, I froze. I was so scared.
They said they heard a disembodied scream, like a bloody scream, like something bad was happening.
And now, here comes your diva of the dark, Lori Schultz.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to The Dirt. Thank you so much for tuning in today on this rainy, awesome, different kind of weather day. We love it. And I'm super excited. I've got Chris Singleton back there doing everything single-handed. He's the man. He's behind the glass. And so thank you so much, Chris, for being here. And my two special guests today, Connor Hopkins and Brendan Jacobs. Thank you, Brendan and Connor, for being here today. Absolutely. I'm so excited. I mean, I always love seeing you guys. And you guys, okay. I'm not going to say names, ages, because it doesn't even matter. I mean, it's all about what you guys do, and you guys do so much. You do more than anybody I know.
Let's tell them after.
Yeah, we'll tell them after, because They'll be like, shut up. And so anyway, we're going to be talking about all of these guys, their adventures. They have a billion things on their plates. And so we're going to talk about that. Well, no, you guys do so much for each thing, though. He right now is getting corrected. And so he's like, no, just two things on our plate. But they're two huge things. And so anyway, we're going to be talking about all of that. And then the second half of the show, I want everybody to realize that we're going to be doing something different for The Dirt for the next four shows. I'm actually going to be launching Vicky Emanuel's show, The Energy Reader. She's going to be basically taking over the second half of The Dirt. But stay tuned for it, because I'm actually the co-host for it. So I'm just helping her launch her new show, which will be actually airing from a different radio station after the 4 weeks is up. So second half of the show, Vicky Emanuel, Energy Reader. Stay tuned for that. The first hour will be The Dirt. So anyway, we're going to run to a commercial. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Brendan and Connor about lots of their cool things going on. So everybody stay tuned for The Dirt, and thank you so much for tuning in.
You are tuned to The Dirt. You are tuned to The Dirt.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to The Dirt. And again, I want to thank Chris for being here tonight with me, and Connor Hopkins and Brendan Jacobs. So we are going to hear all about the adventures of these two young men, because they're always impressing me. They're ghost hunters. And let's see, do you spell it out, or do you say the ghost files?
I would say the ghost files.
The ghost files. Okay. Because I know there's like periods in between everything.
Yeah,
so,
well, it's the name of our team, so it kind of fits with the title of the show, just to keep it.
Why don't you guys introduce yourselves, each of you, and how you met?
Well, I'm Connor Hopkins.
Am
I too close?
There you go.
Not too far.
I was like, I can't even hear you.
I'm Connor Hopkins. I'm not going to say how old I am yet, because we're waiting.
That's exactly it. This is the cliffhanger, you guys. So everybody stay tuned, because seriously, you're not even going to believe it.
I'm 106.
He found the fountain of youth.
Brendan and I met in 2009 after both having weird experiences. It all happened within the same, 2-month period. I got chased by this shadow figure through the woods, and he was living in a very haunted house, and we met each other and just started ghost hunting. And over the last probably almost 2 years now, we've actually gotten to filmmaking. And so we started our own web series, and we do short films and other stuff, filmmaking and paranormal
tons of
related.
Other stuff.
Yeah.
These guys are more technically advanced than I will ever dream to be in my lifetime. Okay, so Brendan, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit besides that part?
I'm Brendan Jacob, and basically the whole story of how we met, I have the same story, obviously, but we've been doing the show on our second season, which we're going to release this coming Friday. So
this is awesome. Okay, so the thing is, I didn't realize you guys weren't on my show for quite a while, actually.
Yeah,
because
it's been like a year.
I know, because when you guys were first talking about doing this, you guys were just putting it together. You hadn't started yet. And the Virginia City, you were going on like a tour there. And weren't you hosting some sort of event?
Yeah, it was a three-day event where it was 3 days, two nights. And we had Bill Murphy from Fact or Fake on the Sci-Fi Channel. He came out, he gave a lecture, and he goes hunting with all the people who bought tickets. And
fun.
Everyone said they had a good time, and it was really fun.
Did you guys find any evidence that time?
Yeah, I think we caught our best evidence we've ever caught.
A full, like, apparition walking through a doorway.
Really?
Yeah. And Bill Murphy, he's on Fact or Fake, and he tries to disprove stuff. That's what he does. He couldn't explain it, and we were just all dumbfounded.
And we caught it at the Old Washoe Club in Virginia City.
Oh, okay. You know what? I was just there recently. But you know the, what is it, the Queen...
Silver Queen.
I was like, it was Queen something. But that one, did you guys end up going in that one at all? You went through the town, right?
We filmed an episode there for the first season, but I don't know if we really caught much.
Well, we did catch something. If any of you have seen the original Ghost Adventures documentary, you see Zach go in there. It's like, oh, look, I'm cutting myself just like you did. Ha ha. Like, just being really mean. And I was in the bathtub like he was, and I was apologizing for what he had said. And we caught this female voice, and I went to review it, and the video was exactly the same length, and I went to the same time code, but I never asked the question I did, and the response wasn't there. And that goes back to what we call the Virginia City curse. Every time we catch something really good going back since 2009, it just gets erased and disappears. And I've talked to other people who this has experienced.
Okay, I remember you guys telling me that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now this stuff that you guys did, like the full body apparition, you actually got to keep that though.
Yeah,
so
we
you
did.
Broke the curse?
We actually went back there to film
finale.
Yeah, season finale at the St. Mary's Hospital. And we went there, and all of our footage from the investigation was completely just gone.
We uploaded it, we
watched it on our computers, and the second we got home, we opened up the laptop, and there was no footage there. We had to actually go back and do another investigation.
Okay, that's really odd. Mm-hmm. That's weird. Okay, this last time that I was up in Virginia City, I was there the day after Zach had just come up there, I guess, to have some lunch.
I'm sorry.
She's like, you just missed him. He was here yesterday. I was like,
thank
that's
God.
Pretty funny. So you have something against Zach? Fill us in.
Everyone in Virginia City does.
Yeah.
Really?
We talk to everyone. It's just, I mean, I don't look up to like the Ghost Adventures crew as ghost like hunters and paranormal investigators, but I really look up to him as filmmakers. Because they made the film by themselves, and they actually do most of the shooting and editing for their TV show still.
Which is exactly what we do. Everything's independent. We film, edit, and distribute.
That's really cool.
When we were on the road this summer, like, we were hitting towns a couple of weeks after they were, and we were shooting at the same time. We didn't even realize. We just kept missing each other all over the U.S., so it was kind of funny.
That is really awesome. So, now your show, okay, your first season, how many episodes did you have?
I think we had
eight. Yeah, we both say eight.
And so where do you guys have them like broadcasted, like what station?
It's actually Roku, which is like an internet television channel. You can probably explain a little bit better.
Roku, it's a $60 box that you can buy at any electronics store, and there's no subscription, but it gives you access to Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon, all those online video channels. And there's also tons of independent channels, and that's what we do. And we have a free version, which we'll play all of the channel's content in standard definition with commercials. And then for $6 a month, you can get commercial-free full HD.
And the channel's called Paranormal Reality TV.
How do you guys come up with this? Okay, are you hearing the genius behind these guys? You guys
are
awesome.
The channel's not ours. The channel was actually started by a man named Matt Kazee, who just moved to Santa Cruz, actually, from Kentucky.
Yeah, he's got his own show on there called Ghost Band, which is a little better than ours. But
yeah, there's close to 40 original shows on the channel.
Wow, that is so cool. So you guys just went and picked this up, and then you can actually, like, get your shows off Netflix?
Not on Netflix. It has to be through Paranormal Reality TV.
But the Roku box that has Paranormal Reality TV also carries Hulu, Netflix, and stuff.
Oh,
but
okay.
Independent channels. Like, Netflix is its own channel, and then Paranormal Reality TV, it's its channel.
That is so cool.
But our stuff, our season 2, will be available on Amazon, I think, in November or December. $1 digital downloads or something.
I am so proud of you guys. Okay, they're so amazing. I love this, you know? Okay, so now you're going into your second season.
Yeah, well, we just got done filming it. We're hopefully getting the edit done this week for all.
And you guys edit, right?
Yeah, we've been
us and one other editor.
Okay, that's so great. And so how long are your episodes?
Between 22 minutes, half hour, somewhere in there.
Okay, so it's just basically the highlights of investigations, or what are your episodes of?
Well, we changed the format a little bit for season two. Season one, we spent a lot of time learning how to be filmmakers. It was really a trial period, and that's kind of why they're going to disappear once the season two episodes start coming out, so people don't accidentally see those first. And so now it's the four of us who go to these locations, big haunted insane asylums and just other scary, and the theme was kind of like abandoned places this year all around the U.S., and then we go in, we interview the people, like all other teams, I guess, and then each investigator spends an hour in the building by themselves with no flashlight and no walkie-talkie.
I'm never going to join your team. Never. But that sounds really cool. So did you guys by yourselves ever have like a really scary experience?
We both did, actually. He had his at the first location. So
the first location, so episode one, which comes out on the 27th, was Farrar Elementary School in Iowa. And nothing really extreme happened. I was hearing knocks and stuff, but something about that place felt so unnatural and just so wrong that I couldn't complete my session. I actually came out a little early.
You did? How early?
Like 22 minutes early, to be exact.
That's really not the shortest. We had an investigator who was up for, probably 8?
12 minutes, maybe?
Between 8 and 15 minutes.
In that same place?
Yeah.
In a different floor. We all switched locations. Places per person, but he said he got his arm pulled, something like that, but he had to come down. He was just terrified, wouldn't go back and investigate.
He walked up to the top of the stairs, and you see the footage, and he has his camera, and then he's just like, he like gets tugged, and he's like, what the F was that? And he just is frozen for a second, and then runs downstairs, and then you can see in the footage that he's almost crying. He's just terrified. Like, he's not, like, breaking down in tears.
No, but just not able to talk.
It's just something just... Okay, well, that's a pretty scary place. And did you get any evidence other than the feelings you had?
Just little knocks and stuff, nothing substantial. But there is some good evidence throughout the season.
That's really awesome.
I mean, the knocks caught us off guard when we heard them, of course. But
yeah,
looking back on it, you're like, well, that wasn't someone walking through a doorway like in Virginia City.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all these buildings that we investigated, we had 100% to ourselves. Like,
that is so cool. How did you arrange that?
What?
Money.
Oh, yeah.
He's all money. Money talks.
Yeah, we got a good amount of money so we can get the season done.
That is so great. Well, thanks to the investor, because these guys will do a great job. And then what was your scariest leave alone experience?
Definitely the basement in Edinburgh, which is a...
Basement.
It's an old mental institute in Iowa. And it's abandoned right now. But the owners were able to let us in. We went and I had to do mine in the basement, of course. And I was so scared because the story she tells us is there's a guy who runs around at people in a straitjacket. I'm like, that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
But I'm down there, and I didn't know this till afterwards, but like probably 15 minutes in, I hear something, and I'm like, whoa, I don't know what that was. I'm like freaking out in this room, and I hear a door almost. So I walk in that room. And then I hear...
So you go towards the noise? You're opposite of me.
Don't run away from evidence.
Yeah, but then, so I'm sitting here, and then I hear something behind me. So I turn around back to where I was, and I'm looking at the doorway, and I'm like, I feel like something's going to walk in here. And I hear footsteps go boom, 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 like, come on, come in here. And then they go, like, right up to the door, and I'm like, oh, my God, I hope it did not come in here. And then it goes right past the door, and then back this way, and the... It almost sounds like they're about to come in the room, and I'm like, oh, my God, come get me, guys. But
so
the way we do it is we have a mic on.
Okay.
And the people who are outside the building at base camp could hear us in case something really, like, we trip, fall, get hurt.
Right.
Anything like an emergency. But I'm like, guys, come get me. Come get me.
His mic had died.
My mic had died. 5 minutes, I'm like, I don't know where they are. And then I'm like, okay, I should probably say something. So I'm sitting there, like, silent in fear for, like, 5 minutes. I'm like, why don't you say something? And just sentence just gets blurted out. And then at that point, I waited like 10 more minutes before I could like move again. And then I walked right out and I was like, guys, what happened? And they were like, yeah, your mic died, but we didn't think we should come get you.
I thought we'd come get you. Everyone else voted against it.
Everyone else voted against
it. It was really scary. I mean, the place is really creepy. It's a three-story,
three floors in the basement.
Yeah, and I was down in the basement.
Completely abandoned. Scary.
That same building, I was hearing footsteps on the floor above me. And I couldn't muster up the courage to go up to that floor. And I'm like, well, why don't you come down here and talk to me? And I hear footsteps come down the staircase and right up to me. And I'm like, okay. It came downstairs.
So what do you do? Do you, like, talk into a recorder then and hope that it's, like, talking to you?
Or? Part of, like, the concept of the show is we're doing certain experiments. So it varies on what investigator is using a certain piece of equipment. Like, sometimes we'll send an investigator to a certain location with the spirit box. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we'll say, you know what, Connor, you're going to be doing a Gonsfeld session up on the third floor by yourself. And then after you're done for, like, 15 minutes, torture. You're going to pick up a camera. Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's
fun how we film it, too, because we have a handheld camera, and then we have a camera on a tripod that they carry around to film themselves, and then on the handheld camera, we have a little infrared camera in their face, so you can capture the fear face.
Which is probably the best part of being able to watch the footage afterwards.
And so they're, like, in the dark, so they're not, like, thinking about what they look like.
Yeah.
No.
And we don't have flashlights and no walkie-talkies.
So you can't see where you're really going.
You guys are hardcore with this stuff. I'm telling you, I would be so afraid to be a part of this group. How about you, Chris?
Sounds like fun to me.
Okay, well, see, that's because you guys are braver. I don't know what the deal is, but I would not be able to do
it. You wouldn't think that if you saw the footage of us just freaking out.
Yeah, but the thing is that you're willing to go there and do it.
Yeah.
I would not even go. But I know of a place. Okay, there's this miniseries that I've started, and it's called The Loma Rica House of Scream. Did you guys see me write up about that at all?
I post about it. I never clicked on
them. That's it. Go to a commercial. No, just kidding. So anyway, what it is this very haunted house. And it's actually another person who is actually on HPI, Trey. Well, her house is so completely haunted that every single person that goes in there has an experience. And she just bought it now, I think it's about 12 weeks ago. And, I mean, the person that was there before only ended up staying there, like, less than a week or something. They couldn't even, like, live in the house. Like, they see full-body apparitions steadily. There was people... The reason I call it the House of Scream is because in the backyard, there was, like, a guy running around screaming. They even called the cops. They thought, like, the guy was really in danger. He's like, help, help, and all this stuff. So you guys, if you want...
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, if you want, I can get a hold of Trey and see. And she might even be listening. But if you guys really want to do it, you can.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I'd love to do a live broadcast and see how long we can last in the house.
Well, the thing is, since I'm doing the mini series on it, you guys, we could make it, like, for one of the shows.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right. That'd be really fun. And then you guys can put it on yours, too. Like, make two shows. We'll make two shows out of it.
Like a crossover?
Yeah. Yeah, it would be really fun. I mean, the thing is, like, one time... And if Trey's listening, sorry, Trey, but I really did have plans. But, I mean, she invited me to enchiladas. I invited Chris to come with me. Right, Chris? And then all of a sudden, I did have something come up, and I really couldn't go. But to be honest, I was scared the entire time. I really was. I was scared. I'm admitting it. But I really did have plans come up. I was like, Chris, you can go without
you just
me.
Just go yourself, Chris.
That's what I said. I was like, you can just go by yourself if you want. Uh-huh. And anyway, so he went, and he got really scared. Just kidding. He didn't even go, did you? Did you end up going?
No, I just talked to Trey on the phone that night.
Yeah, really? About me? You guys are talking behind my back.
No.
But did you see that? It seems like he's talking behind my back. That's all right. Everybody knows I'm a chicken. There's nothing to say behind my back. But the thing is, like, I would maybe go if, like, we were planning it. Otherwise, I could be here. I could be, like, dialed in. Like, you guys could be Skyping me, like, no way. Did you guys just see that? Like, this full body apparition. Like, we could do a remote show like that, too.
Yeah, I'm sure we can somehow rig up some cameras so they're
live
broadcasting.
To them.
That would be...
Just watch from afar.
Just have people watching us 24/7, see if we can last more than the week in the house.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they live there right now. No, they literally live in there right now.
How?
Huh?
How?
You wouldn't believe she got a door opening and shutting. She's got so much evidence just by being in there, and
it's all documented. And
yeah, it's on Facebook. You could see the door opening and shutting, like literally. She got it on film, and there's so many other things too. Like people go in there and they see like a guy walking across, like they have a loft, and there's some guy that walks in the backyard with like a lantern. You see just the lantern going across, and you can hear the footsteps, but you see the light. The lantern. Uh-huh. There's like really weird things. And too scary, like, for me. I'm like, it's like very haunted. Well, Paul Dale Roberts, actually, and a shout out to Paul Dale Roberts because I love him. We all do, right? Okay, exactly. So he's like, said it's one of the most haunted places he's ever been.
Oh, he's been everywhere.
Yeah, and for him to say that, you know. Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
I can't Google, like, a certain place, like, hey.
Or mystery or anything.
Anything. If I'm just like, yeah, if there's anything haunted in my area, it's like 9 articles by Paul Dale Roberts.
Isn't it cool?
I was researching some monster in the Midwest or something, and then Paul came up, and then I was researching an idea for a little short film about UFO sightings where people have died, and all the articles were by Paul.
Yeah. So the thing, I just
call him now instead.
I know, you're like, do you have anything?
I was doing some research because apparently up in Mount Shasta is supposed to be like some really crazy stuff going on up there.
Yeah.
So I just looked up myths that people report.
The Lemurians or whatever?
Yeah, that too. We were talking about that last time we were here. But
I must repeat myself a lot.
But
it's been
a
year.
I was
come
just
on.
Looking up all like the weird myths that people report, and Paul wrote an article about a bat squatch, which I don't even know what that is.
A bat squatch?
A bat squatch.
I don't even know either.
He said some guy called him and told him all this stuff, and he said the only conclusion that he could come up with that it was a bat squatch.
The only conclusion. I love it. He should call in if he's listening, because sometimes
is.
He does.
He's listening. He's always listening.
I know it. Yeah, he's everywhere. Paul? Paul? Where are you? So anyway, we're going to go to a commercial. It's the bottom of the hour. So everybody stay tuned for The Dirt, and we'll be right back to hear some more stuff going on with Connor and Brendan.
You are tuned to The Dirt. You are tuned to The Dirt. Get interactive with Lori by contacting her blog at lorischulz.blogspot.com. Here comes your diva of the dark, Lori Schulz.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to The Dirt, and I'm having such a blast with Brendan and Connor today. I'm sorry. I was, like, texting. I'm doing all this stuff I'm not supposed to be doing while I'm on the air. But anyway, so so that's one of your big conquering things you're doing, and that's your show. I mean, that's a huge thing, having your second season coming up, and on the Ghost Files. Is that the show's name?
Yep.
Okay, so Ghost Files, and so we've got that going on for you guys. And what else? Now, you said two big things, and I know you're doing a fundraiser, or that event.
Yeah, it's the event. We have October 4th. You're putting it together mostly this year. So.
Yeah, okay, so it'll be in...
We're on, so we're good. Okay.
In Placerville, California, in historic, like, gold country, I guess. And it's going to be called The Ghost Files Presents Ghost of the Gold Rush. It'll be another 3-day event like last time. And we have two guests coming out from the YouTube channel, Short Films 123, Dakota Layden and Connor Stallings. They're two filmmakers around our age who made some really, really funny ghost adventure spoofs, which they're really famous for.
Oh, cool.
And they also did a 3-part series called Ghost Boys on YouTube, which was very good. And so we're having them out, and it's going to be 2 nights of ghost hunting and film screenings, paranormal experiments and workshops, and ghost hunts. Did I say ghost hunts?
No, you didn't. No. But
and ghost hunts, yeah.
That's awesome. And so what's the dates on that again? October
4th through 6th.
4th through 6th. And how much does it cost for this, and how can people sign up?
It's $115. That is the absolute cheapest we could go. Last year we did $150, and we felt like it was too expensive. We've been trying to do $99. Just costs so much to put it on. So our goal eventually is to be able to do $99 tickets for all your events, just because we know what it's like to not be able to go to events because they're expensive.
Yeah.
And so it'll be...
But
to
for
get
3
tickets,
days, that's a good deal.
Yeah. To get tickets, you can go to the ghostfiles.eventbrite.com, I think it is. Or just find us on Facebook, and all the links are there.
Okay, and so why don't you tell people how to find you on Facebook, like spell your names or something? I mean, people might be interested in going to do this.
So if you, I guess the best way, there's a group and a page on Facebook called The Ghost Files, and it's the, but ghost has periods in between. It's an acronym, so it's GHOST, and or Ghost Files. And so you can ask to join the group. It's a private group, but we let everybody join, and where we have discussions about paranormal stuff and where we advertise our things and just talk to people.
A lot of paranormal discussions. We have a lot of really cool people. post on there. So
that's awesome. And also, if anybody is driving, you can't write this down, you can also find it on the Dirt page, because yep. I did post it. So feel free to get a hold of me. And if you guys have any questions for Connor and Brendan, just please feel free to call in right now, 530-742-5555. And I actually, before we get talking more about that, I want to talk a little bit about an event. Your event is reminding me. There's a person I know, and I'm kind of sidetracking off of paranormal for a second. He's actually trying to put together this, like a reserve in Lincoln for animals and different things like that are like, maybe if somebody has like a tiger or an illegal this or illegal that. It's like a rescue place. And so he actually texted me and asked me if I would like kind of promote this like real quick. So I'm going to go ahead and do this because it's a good cause and the Dirt is always getting involved in that. So, it says, Lincoln Zoo Sanctuary and Animal Rescue is a nonprofit trying to break ground and gain support. We're dedicated to providing all the animals, including exotic, as a good home to live the remainder of their lives. We hope to become a safe surrender, no questions asked, site for illegal animals. We're looking mainly for land, building space to start up as as well as sponsors and volunteers. Any helpful info is greatly appreciated. If you would like to like more information and would like to find out how you can help, please find and like us at facebook.com/Lincoln Zoo Sanctuary. And thank you for all of your support. So I wanted to do a shout out for that. And that's something too, like, if anybody is interested, just get a hold of me on the Dirt page on Facebook, and I'll give you more information about that as well. So back to this, and if finding this event that's going on, like I said, I did post it on the Dirt, and I would really like you guys to check it out. These guys really know what they're doing. You guys have been, you're really familiar with equipment and everything else. You guys are tech masters. I'm telling you, you guys know what's going on. And so if anybody would like to go out and have a really fun weekend, it's on the weekend, right?
Yeah. Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday morning.
Yeah, we're going to have breakfast in the morning on Sunday and then say goodbye, pictures and all that stuff that we did
last year. That's really cool. So where do people stay for the 115? Do they also have to have their own place to stay?
The host hotel is the Haunted Carey House Hotel in Placerville.
Oh, awesome.
And that's where we'll be doing all the lectures and events or film screenings. And then we're doing two separate locations for the ghost hunts, but they don't want us to say until closer to the event so they don't have people harassing them. But they're going to be in Placerville, and I think one's in Coloma.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's all really close, historic gold country. Yeah,
but it won't cost anything to go on the investigation after you have your ticket. And once you get to the hotel, because you use your code word for whatever it's going to be, because we have a deal with them, because all the people coming in, and then you'll have a cheaper hotel room like we did last year.
Okay. Well, and that's good news to hear. You know what I mean? So they're going to have a little bit of a savings. And then not only that, but all the events for the 3 days, I mean, like all the training, all the hunts and everything else to be a part of that for the 118?
15. It is 18, yeah. I think, with the fee, actually, from November.
Okay. See, yeah, it's a little bit cheaper than last year, but it's not as eventful.
It's more eventful. It's more eventful, yeah. It's just not in the Washoe Club.
Yeah, Virginia City was a really, really good location. Placerville's kind of out there, but there's some cool places out there still.
There are.
We don't know until we try.
Hangtown, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, where'd this moth come from? So anyway, but I just think it's going to be a great place because actually I know of a lot of people that like going to the Carey House. Mm-hmm. I mean, that I've heard a lot of stories about that place. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any stories about that?
We were originally going to do it at this hospital, but it actually flooded and we couldn't do it.
Oh, okay.
So we had to just last minute. That's why the event announcement was only 2 or 3 weeks ago and so close to it. And we feel kind of bad. So it's going to be in Haunted Gold Rush Town, though. I think that'll be fun.
I do, too.
I mean, we've had some of our best encounters, I guess, in Coloma and Gold Country area. So. Yeah.
Well, it's like some of the oldest places where people were like, you know, hanging out. I mean, some of those areas, there were like thousands of people and now they're down to, you know, like such a small population. But before there were like 10,000 or whatever. But it's a great area, I think, to find evidence and to hang out with a lot of other people who have the common interest.
Mm. Yeah.
So it'll be fun. So is that going to be on one of your episodes then for your next season, or don't you even use that?
We'll film it. And
we'll film, put stuff up on our YouTube channel, just the Ghost Files 18.
Okay.
Username on that. But
Ghost Files 18 for YouTube.
Yeah, we post all our, like, for people that don't have Roku, we'll make mini-sodes every Wednesday, which is behind the scenes, cut scenes, cases we'll do with, like, HPI or something, just stuff that
archived cases. Yeah, this last Wednesday, we went out and did our own little Friday the 13th thing.
Are you dead?
But that'll be up soon, I think next week.
Also on YouTube, every Monday, we do a little vlog to kind of update what's going on. Me and Brendan and Cole, our other team member, kind of just take turns doing it.
Awesome.
And one Thursday a month, we do a short film on YouTube.
That is so much fun. How long is the short film?
It's no longer than 14 minutes normally.
Yeah, I think mine lasted about 12 minutes. I just released my first one called 27. It was about kind of like the 27 Club, which is all the musicians and stuff who died at the age of 27.
Yeah,
Kurt Cobain and Jim Morrison.
I was like, it's ringing a bell. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. So you should post that on my page.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I always think that is so weird.
It's up on YouTube right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And then this month, we're doing a film called My Ghost Story, and we're kind of introducing all of the team members so they kind of get to know us better. Mm-hmm. And then next month, me and Brennan are going to work on one together called Lady in White, and it's exploring how every town has a lady in white. And we're exploring the theories behind that and stuff.
That's really cool. So the lady in white, there's always a town with, every town has one.
Every town that I've ever been to, there's always like, we see this lady in white out on the
road.
Walking
the road looking for a kid or something.
It's just something like that. There's always some different mythology behind why there's a lady in white in their town.
And they're always like in some flowy gown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we were in North Carolina and we even heard the same reports out there.
I wonder what that's about.
Nah, we're gonna investigate. I have an idea,
but you gotta wait for the movie.
I am excited for the movie. So what other cool ideas do you guys have? Or you don't want to give them out?
Oh, we don't have any.
That was it. That was all three.
You guys are so modest. Let's see. You wanted to talk about UFOs. Have you seen any lately?
No, we did our third annual UFO Skywatch. I don't know if we talked about that last time. But we every year in July, we host a nationwide, or trying to do worldwide UFO hunt. And the idea behind it is if we can...
Actually, you did talk about it. Sorry.
If we get enough people looking up at once, we have to catch something. It's kind of the idea.
Yeah, both this year and last year, we've had Chris Edwards from Paranormal State and Sergi Popresny.
And Bill Murphy.
And Bill Murphy and all them helping from...
Really?
Yeah.
That was cool.
All those
guys
helping with the Skywatch.
So what happened?
This year, we didn't really... We heard a couple reports from North Carolina and one in Europe, actually.
Wow.
And then we post updates from MUFON all night because they have their live UFO map. And then we also set up a base camp in the local UFO hotspot. Like last year we did it at Galt. I don't know if you've seen Paul's stories about the Galt UFO
ranch.
Weren't
you there?
I've heard stories about it. But HPI went there too, right?
Yeah.
That's where we were, It was a place we did a paranormal investigation at these people's house.
Yeah, wasn't it supposed to be like some little fairies or something, or little goblin things?
Yeah, there was supposed to be goblins out there.
There's everything out there.
Yeah. There was like a witch tree and
outside this one lady's house, and then they're like, no.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you saw a UFO.
Yeah,
out there.
On my way there to the case, me and our other investigator Cole, we were on our way to the paranormal investigation with HPI. And then we saw this huge light in the sky. We're like, oh, my God, what is it? Like a plane crashing? So we, like, kind of stopped. And this light was just up in the, like, right above our car. And then there was a plane flying right towards it. And then all of a sudden the light just started to go really, really dim. And then it just disappeared. And the plane was flying in the opposite direction when the light went away.
Okay, that's so weird.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing ever. And then
wish you guys could have got that on film.
That wasn't what happened. I had my phone out, and I was, like, recording it didn't even, like, go through my head. So I'm, like, on the phone. I'm, like, I called Connor. I'm, like, Connor, there's a UFO above the car right now. He's, like, film it, and he hung up. And I was, like, oh, it's gone by the time
I had a cool experience coming back up from, like, Vacaville, up in that area. You know when you, you kind of take that exit so that you're on 80. You know how you have to exit the Reno? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so I was getting on there, and then you're kind of on the overpass, and this was like, it was before I even had a show or anything like that, and all of a sudden above, and there's like all these other cars too, so I wasn't the only one that saw it, and my kids are all in the car, and this UFO, I'm talking like it seemed huge, like a football field size, it seemed like it was lowering down, and it was silent, but it was all the traffic, we all like were slowing down to nothing, and it had lights underneath, but it was kind of a weird shape. It wasn't like a disc, you know how you would picture. Mm-hmm. Got down so low, like you almost felt like it was gonna land on us, and then it went down the side, like, the side of the road. You know how
was it above water by chance?
I think, isn't that river right there?
Because my grandpa told me a story from, I think it was in the 70s, and him and my grandma and my mom and her two sisters, when they were little, were driving through Reading, and this big light came and hovered above this lake. It was a weird shape, kind of like what you said, but it split into two and then flew away.
Oh, weird. This and one, so, once it went down the side, because then you're above it, which is really weird that it could go that close to the ground, you couldn't see it anymore. Huh. It was like it just was gone. Well, then it happened to be, I called my ex-husband at the time, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, I just think I saw, you know, there's this UFO, and he's like, whatever. You know, he, like, ignored me pretty much about it. He thought it was just like, whatever, you know. It could have been just an airplane coming from me, I guess. And so then the next day, he was listening to a talk radio show, and the guy was like, There was at least 20 other cars there. I was there. Who are you? If you were there, call in. So he calls me. I'm showing some real estate. I was like, I can't call in right now. I'm like, I'm literally showing a house, but I answered just in case there was some emergency or something. And he's like, you were right. That was like a UFO and all that. I was like, I told you. I was like, but it was funny that a radio guy was actually witnessed it also at the same time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and he was trying to get someone to call in.
See, I think the weirdest one we had was, we were on our way back from Reading, or we're up in the Reading area.
No, we were going to Weaverville, and we had to get off at Reading.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had to get off at Reading, but it said, you know, according to our
next seven exits was a sign.
Yeah. So we started a song like 2 minutes before that.
2 minutes is how long a song is.
Long.
The song started song. When we saw the Reading
sign. I'm going to let you tell the story.
Okay. So you guys are funny.
We see the sign. It says Reading, next seven exits. So I was like, oh, we got to get off here. And the song's going, and we're waiting and waiting and waiting. No exit, no exit. And then all of a sudden, we're over Lake Shasta. And we were like, wait, what? And so we get off, because we realize we went too far. And the same song's still on the radio. And we get off, and we see a green light hovering over the trees flying away. And then it takes us like almost a half hour to get back to Reading.
Are you kidding?
Yeah,
that's right. You guys told me about that. No, so what do you think, you were abducted?
No, I didn't think that. I don't think I was abducted.
The whole time we were like, oh, we had a time warp. Just joking about it, like, because just so much weird stuff happens to us, we don't even care. And then someone on HPI I told her the story, and she's like, you were abducted. And
that's I think.
I was abducted.
I mean, it makes
sense, because the UFO sighting with the lost time.
Does that necessarily mean you were abducted, though?
What I don't know. Maybe it just flew by and just screwed everything
up. He's like,
up.
I'm not comfortable with the idea of myself being abducted.
I wouldn't let it happen.
A psychic told me I was abducted.
Yeah. Really? Who was the psychic?
My mom's close friend.
Really?
Yeah, she's like the only one I trust, though. We actually met this lady at a SAC UFO con where we had our own booth, and she would not leave us alone. She was a speaker there. And everyone, but she was just, I think she was crazy, but she was, she kept coming up to us, and she goes, oh my god, you guys are from the planet Aldebaran, I know it.
Well, she kind of nailed it. She's like, you guys work with St. Michael a lot, and you, even if you don't know it's in your dreams, but you guys are always around spirits, and you're fighting evil ones or something. I'm like, well, we are paranormal investigators, and she was like, that's it. And we're like, well, yeah, that's it.
And then she tried to get us to move out to Colorado.
You're like, my whole booth says it.
To teach her. No.
Yeah, it's a ghost hunting booth.
Yeah, well, I don't know. She was a little off to me anyway.
We're star children from the planet Aldebaran.
That's right.
Well, that's cool. You guys should make shirts. You guys should sell them on your website.
We just made a new shirt that I love. It's a shirt, I guess we'll announce it now. We were going to announce it at the event. But
yeah, I love it when the dirt gets good information.
Exclusives.
Yes.
It's a stick figure of like an exorcist girl, you know, just the typical, like, kind of lean back.
Hunched over backwards.
And it says, don't get Emily Rose.
Okay, that movie is the best.
Emily Rose?
Yeah. The Exorcism.
Yeah. I think The Exorcist took the cake on exorcism movies.
Yeah, it did. But did you guys like The Rite?
I did. I don't know. He probably hasn't seen it. I liked it, though.
You didn't see it? Why? You're a filmmaker. I own that movie. If you need to get it, you guys can pick it up at my house.
It's a good movie.
It's awesome.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
let's
it
watch
is.
It tonight, then.
Yeah.
If we have time.
You guys should. Okay, you've seen it. I thought that was pretty good. You know what? And it's based on a true story. The pastor is still a pastor in Chicago, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. He actually is. It's not like it's about somebody who died.
No, I actually had no idea it was a true story until just now.
Yeah. It's based on a true story, and that's why I really liked it, because I...
So is The Exorcist, though.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so is the exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yeah.
They all are. Yeah, but what's really cool is, like, she was supposed to... She literally, like, people go and see her, and she was bringing a lot of people to God and everything like that through the suffering that she had. So... Cool. You guys just heard a bunch of really cool films, but the coolest films are going to be the ones on these guys' channel. So you guys have to check them out, because you guys
are... No exorcisms, but they're cool.
Yeah, yeah, no exorcisms, and hopefully nobody will ever need one on your show or anything like that, being left alone in the dark. And so, but the thing is, you guys are going to... It's cool because it's all true evidence. Like,
yeah,
it's
completely.
Like going 100%. On a ghost hunt without having to be there. That's... Like, right up my alley.
And that's, like, another thing.
Without having
show.
To be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
We try to keep it really raw and uncut for the most part. Like, we trim it down, but we don't try to hype anything up. We're truthful. Like, if we go to a place and nothing happens and we're just scared, well, let's say at the end, like, yeah, we were just scared. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
And then there's some things, like,
but that
the
is
ghost just walked up to me.
Yeah.
How is this possible?
But like, just know that even though it's not, if nothing happens, we still keep the show really entertaining with, you know, aspects of, like, interviews.
Kind of funny, too,
how our experiments go and how our other investigators react to certain things.
And the thing is, it's like this. I mean, think about it. I mean, feeling scared and knowing something, that's the fun part about ghost hunting.
Not when you're ghost hunting.
No. It's the thing of getting the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people experience what you experience where you're like, well, we didn't get anything, but, like, you know something's just not right. Like, when you were saying, like, that place just wasn't right. It was creepy. There was something wrong with it. It wasn't just a basement, or it wasn't just that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's that feeling, and it's going above and beyond that to get more than that, to get that evidence, which is really cool.
Yeah.
You know?
And we think fear helps that, kind of. Sometimes.
Really?
So that's why
we
kind
something of can just
design
feed on
this.
That energy. And that's why... When you have one person and not one of the most haunted buildings in America by themselves with nobody else in there, no flashlight or way to communicate with anyone else.
That's scary.
Your fear level's pretty high,
I would imagine. Do you guys go to ghost towns ever?
We're going to be doing that this spring.
Like a series of it?
The three of them, I think, around the Nevada area.
Awesome.
Like 4x4 treks, like the ones that are way out there. So those will be really fun.
There's one, isn't it by Michigan Bluff? It's somewhere around here too. Like, I actually, the funny thing is, I went and tried to find it once, and it's such a good ghost town you can't even find it. Like, literally, I couldn't find it. Like, people were sending me, like, I'm not gonna talk bad about any little towns or anything like that, but I actually felt a little afraid of Michigan Bluff. I don't know why.
It happens.
Yeah, but some of the
towns.
Iowa. Really?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean. Farrar, even though I had that experience at the mental asylum, I think Farrar was still, I was more, I don't know, there's just some weird sense of panic everywhere you were in the building.
The energy was just crazy.
We kind of actually agreed as a team where we might actually never go back to Farrar.
I want
really?
To go back.
Or me and Cole for the most part.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty exciting.
Because they didn't finish their isolation sessions in the building by themselves.
But you did, you finished?
It means
no, you
Sierra.
Your camera died.
My camera died, but I...
Came back, and then your camera was dead, so you didn't go back
Okay,
out.
Sierra finished her isolation. She's the only female investigator on our team finished her isolation session.
She's the only one that did all five.
She's braver
really?
Than all of us.
And it wasn't like we gave her the easy ones. We were like... So there was a hospital we investigated where a nurse got her hair pulled and slammed to the floor. And we made her go in that room by herself while we went in the hallway.
I like how you guys say made.
Oh, said, yeah.
You're like, we made her.
No, you said made.
Oh. Slave drivers.
I know. In that place, I made her do something, an experiment called sensory aggravation, where you just find these disturbing clips and disturbing sounds, and you just put them into a clip and make the investigator watch it, and then start investigating right after. So your senses are you're kind of just.
That's cool.
So her fear level was like through the roof,
and then we scared her so bad. It was like, oh, it's time to go get her, and we're sitting outside her room. And we're about to open the door. It's like, I think I hear something. And Connor just jumps through the door.
Oh, my goodness.
And she fell on the ground. And even though she was laying on her back, she was running.
Like, backwards.
she thought she was still running, but she wasn't.
She was so scared.
Did
amazing.
You guys get that on
phone? Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's funny. So, so when you guys do this, like, what's that one thing you guys did? Remember that investigation with News 10?
The Gonsfeld.
The Gonsfeld.
Yeah, tell everybody about that.
sensory deprivation technique where you can't see anything. You have a red light in your face, so all you're seeing is that red light with the goggles on, so all you're seeing is red light. Then you have headphones on playing radio static or white noise.
Pure white noise.
Yeah.
Pure generated. Has to be. Not pre-recorded, pure generated. That's important. A lot of people get that messed up when they try it.
Really?
Yeah, so it's basically you sit there and it's supposed to make you more, I guess, inept to psychic abilities and pick up on stuff because you're more concentrated because there's no you can't see or hear, nothing's blocking your
like your other senses are
it's exactly
okay.
everything else is kicking in, so you have this,
so all it leaves open is to be touched really and to hear things ESP, I guess, like telepathically, which is how spirits are supposed to communicate.
Did you guys ever have any experiences while you were on that?
We've been chased out to where you throw the goggles off because you swear someone is right there touching your shoulder.
I did that really? On the season finale up on Roku.
Episode one or season one?
Season one of the,
yeah.
Yeah, on the ice, the season finale's up. But I did that. I had to throw them off. I got so freaked out in the miner's cabin in Virginia City.
Really?
Yeah, that was the only time I've ever had to stop doing the Gonsfeld.
Where did you guys come up with that? Like, is that something you buy?
Well, you have to kind of make it yourself. It's kind of a DIY thing.
It's a red light, and then you get some safety goggles and spray paint them white, and then you use Audacity, which a lot of paranormal investigators use for EVP, like, analysis, and you just generate white noise. We learned it from Sergi from Paranormal State. He taught us how to use it.
Oh, wow, that's so cool. Okay, well, you know what? We only have a couple minutes left for our interview and talk, and so do you guys want to, like, promote everything one more time for everybody?
Yeah, you want me to do it?
Yeah, okay. You can go ahead. And
so I guess Twitter and Instagram is at The Ghost Files, all one word, lowercase letters. Follow us on Facebook, and it's The Ghost Files, but spelled out with capitals as an acronym for ghost. And you can find us both on Facebook, Connor Hopkins and Brendan Jacob.
Yeah.
And the event is theghostfiles.eventbrite.com, I believe. Or just search and Google The Ghost Files and Eventbrite. It should take you.
Yeah, so if you guys want to see some really cool independent film screenings from us and our friends Dakota and Connor. Yeah.
So we'll be premiering an episode. Dakota will be premiering his 3-part ghost hunting story or series he did, but as a director's cut, all crammed into one. And they're also going to be doing a Ghost Adventure spoof, like remake, which is so funny.
That's awesome.
It's hilarious.
So yeah, check them out at shortfilms123 on YouTube. It's awesome.
Okay, so great. Well, thank you guys so much. I'm so excited that you guys were here with me today. It's been too long.
Yes,
we're gonna come more.
Yeah, definitely. And if you want, I'll try to set that up with Trey.
Okay.
And we'll try to do like a remote show. I haven't done one forever. I mean, last time I did one was the Silver Dollar Saloon. So we'll try to do that. And then you guys definitely keep in touch. If something cool happens, you gotta, post on the dirt, call into the dirt, and
absolutely.
Of course I'm gonna have you guys back again soon, okay?
All right,
thank you so much, Brendan and Connor. And now the dirt is ending, and coming up will be the energy reader. And it's being hosted by the dirt. So stay tuned for Vicky Emmanuel.